this kind of warfare than occur in the more distant warfare that involved bombing and more distant contact in the western Ukraine. So, you know, as you said earlier in the show, this is a time period where the death rate's going up, the amount of munitions that are being used is going way up, and the interest in it goes down because there's not much news. What do you report? The front is the same. It's just a movement back and forth. If this is something that's driven not by a real American interest, not a real politic American interest, but rather politics, then when the political will begins to falter because of a loss of interest, you know, that puts Ukraine at risk. So this is all what Henry Kissinger was talking about in real politics. If the country has a real interest in it, then they will continue to follow that interest. If what we're doing is really just sort of driven by a much less powerful interest, something that's presumably identified as being ideological, but it's more or less political, then there isn't much will behind it. And so what have we done? You know, we've given Ukraine the will to fight, but we aren't going to give it the wherewithal to get victory. And we shouldn't, you know, we should have known that going in, and we should have resisted the impulse to give them the wherewithal to resist.
Well, you know, Sandy, I said earlier, is this our war? And the longer we, you know, just because we don't have troops on the ground, and we're going to continue to feed the war machine, doesn't it eventually become our war?
Well, of course, and the fact that the war started, and to the extent that we might have, in some ways, provoked it by giving Ukraine the wherewithal and the will to resist and to avoid a negotiation with Russia over, for instance, the situation in Crimea. You know, the outcome of this war is creating a lot of fallout around the world. You know, there's no question that the price of oil has risen rather dramatically as the result of the dislocation of supply and demand created by the sanctions. And there are further ramifications simply in the economy. So Europe is already beset by a probable recession. The United States is well on the road to that. Our stock market's already gone into bear territory. So there's lots of outcomes from this, and some of them might be well related to the failed foreign policy that you can't lay at the feet of Joe Biden. You have to lay at the feet of the international affairs establishment of the United States that goes back decades and lies on both sides of the party aisle.
You know, Sandy, you talked about the bear market, and now the Dow Jones is down to, what, 30,000 from what I think a high at, what, 36 something, and that was going to happen eventually at some point in time, right? I mean, it couldn't continue at that pace. It didn't matter who president was.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, all of this, the business cycle in many respects is independent from the president. It might have to do with short-term things that occur that might add fuel to the fire of a strong economy. So the tax cut during Trump undoubtedly heated, I would assert, overheated the economy. All of the stimulus that's been fed into the economy during this time of the pandemic and COVID has obviously stimulated the economy with government conduct. But ultimately, economies that boom go into recession. There's no such thing as a permanent boom.
You know, and so that time is coming, and you know, as you stated about the stock market, people have made a lot of money in the market. They're so far ahead than where they were when President Obama took office, and the Dow Jones was around 7,500. So you know, I'm hearing griping and complaining about, you know, what's happened? Joe Biden is crashing the stock market. I mean, come on, You know, and so those kind of things they're going to continue to put out there if people aren't aware of it, because they clearly want Joe Biden and the Democrats to, you know, pay the price for this.
The stock market is a reflection of people with assets. And like we talked for the last number of years, the stock market is not a thermometer of how the economy is doing generally or how Tom, Dick, and Mary are doing. It's really a measurement of how the wealthy are doing with the assets that they hold. And so the fact that it's a bear market is less important to me, and actually is less important in the grand scheme of things than if it portends a recession that would involve loss of jobs something that really affects Tom, Dick, and Mary. And the inflation is clearly going to do that. So, yeah, I think, when I get back, I suspect there'll be a lot more resolved about what's happening with the economy. We can talk about it more extensively.
Hang on a second, Stan. Hey, who do we have on the line?
We have David.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I got
okay, thank you, Sandy. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, okay. Got you there. Really quickly, Earl, with the war in Ukraine, obviously this has made things definitely worse. I'm not going to disagree with Sandy on that part.
But it's not just Sandy, man. I know that it's made things worse. And right. Everybody else does.
Yeah, but that being said, what do you think was going to happen when you have limits? United States, was the largest oil and natural gas producer for just a short time, very recently. And now, we have kneecapped ourselves to kind of say, we can't do these pipelines here.
Hey Dave, let me ask you, did you hear Sandy say that it's a global market? And the price of oil is predicated on what's happening on the open market.
But get my point. And Sandy, I hope you get my point. Well, is Sandy still on the line right now?
No.
Oh, okay. So Sandy, what I would say to Sandy would be, when you limit supply, it causes prices to go up. That's not rocket science.
Do you think Sandy, an economist, doesn't understand that?
I'm talking about what Joe Biden has done between us and Canada by not working with Canada and by limiting our ability to do what we have to do to put more additional refinery capacity and pipelines and other things. He made a very definitive statement that he was not going to do that. So when you do that, and it's sort of like, if you remember during, best example would be like when the Bucks were through COVID last year, when they're going to the championship game, they're only able to sell, 20% of their seats because of COVID. Well, guess what? The price went through the moon, because you had a very limited amount of seats. And the same thing, I'm applying that to Biden has done to the United States.
So Dave, this is a Newsweek article this morning in Business from Newsweek by Maria Azura Volpe. And she says, will gas prices go down this year? She's an economist for Newsweek.
Right.
Gas prices have reached new highs over the past few months, surpassing the record set during global financial crisis in 2008. Listen to this. The coronavirus pandemic, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the consequent sanctions imposed on Moscow by America and the European Union have all contributed to the skyrocketing cost of a gallon. So is there any chance that gas prices will go down this year? Her issue is, I didn't see where she said, Joe Biden, Joe Biden did this and Joe Biden did that.
But it's recorded, Earl. He literally did that.
Nobody
that is
said,
something that
Dave,
he instituted.
Nobody's saying he didn't say that. You and others, you and others like you, Dave, continue to point the finger as if the reason we are dealing with almost $6 a gallon gas is because of Joe Biden.
What he could do is, we are under summer blend, as you know. We changed the blend of gasoline.
But in some areas, they've waived it.
Yeah, and you know what? Why doesn't the state of Wisconsin, why can't we get, like others, there's a few states now that have waived the gas tax.
So the question
becomes, 32 cents
gas tax.
That's
not Joe Biden's issue, okay?
That's, I understand, but why didn't he do it on a federal level? Why didn't he do it on a federal level? And what I'm saying to you,
they're talking about doing that right now, Dave.
Yeah, well, should have done it a while ago.
Okay. So 32 cents a gallon off of $5 a gallon gas isn't much. I'll tell you that.
Well, it's anything
something.
Is a relief.
Right.
It's
okay.
Something.
So let's put it in perspective.
But at the end of the day, all I'm saying is, why is he not talking to Canada and talking to the province of Alberta? They are dying to work with us to get more supply onto the market. If you do that, that will bring the price down. If you get more supply on the market, the global market, it will force prices to come down. When you have more of something, it makes it cheaper. That is economics 101.
Well,
that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure the advisors around the president are more than aware of what you just said, Dave. It's hard for me to imagine that the greatest economist in the world.
Let me ask you a question, Earl. Do you think the Federal Reserve
Hang on, man. We got to go to a break. We'll get back on the other side.
Okay.
Hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.